Okay, so just to review from last week, right? 2 weeks ago. So what we spoke about is this idea, right? The Kavona Sabriya, according to Ramchal, the three levels. The first level is something called the Gilui Hashem, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to go ahead and to reveal himself. So all the world is nothing but a revelation. So the whole Kavona Sabriya is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal himself and to channel himself. Okay? So all the midas that we know which book is Rachum and Chanun, Erechapayim, that's the Kavona Sabriya. The intention of the Bria was for that. That's what Rav Chaim Vital writes. However, there is a deeper Kavona Sabriya, that Ramchal says, which is Kavona Hashniya, which all the Amsterdam Svarim are built on, which is the Kavona HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate mida of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is the midas Achesed, HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the ultimate, in the end, what it is Midas HaChesed. Everything else is expressions of Midas HaChesed. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Echod, and the concept of Echod, the ultimate Midah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the ultimate concept HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reveal to himself to us, was Midas HaChesed. So that's the world that we know in Ramchal throughout his forum, that he says HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world to be Meitiv L'Beruach. All the Kavonas, which means very much clear from the davening, right? Elokei Avrom, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov. Elokei Avrom is Midas HaChesed, Elokei Yitzchok is Midas HaTzadim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Mogen Avrom, Becha Choismin. Chazal learned from a pasuk, Veheye Brocha, that ultimately the chasim of everything, the tachlis of everything, is Midas HaChesed. So it's a deeper sense that all the shemes and all the giluim come for one reason, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to reveal his kindness. Now, the Ramchal says, and this is the revelation, this is the his work of Amsterdam. Of Amsterdam, this is his work. Now, in Padua, before he was banned, he revealed a deeper Kavona. The deeper Kavona Sabriya is that, ultimately, the Gilui that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to do is the Kavona Sayichud. So Ichud, that unification, this is the Kavona Sabriya. The toiv is only achieved through unity. You cannot have pleasure. The word oinig in Hebrew is ein nun gimel. Chazal say that what it means is Eden, Nohar, and Gan. Is the Eden, the Nahar, the river that flows from Eden, and it goes to the garden. So it's the connection of everything together. Eden is when you're connected to the source. You're connected to Eden. Right? The Mokom Hayidun. So Ichud, the unity, is the only way that you could achieve and perceive Chesed. Pleasure is only Shaykh in unity. There's no pleasure in separateness. The more unified, the more united, the more connected you are at something, the more pleasure you have. And the ultimate pleasure is achieving unity. So the pleasure is only a way to achieve unity. But the Kavona Sabriya is the Kavona Sayichud. So all the world, in its mega sense, is a Rishus HaYochid that went into Rishus HaRabim, and our void is to bring back to Rishus HaYochid. That's what we saw last week. Now we're going to understand something what Ramchal says. So I told you, always, you have to see the Svarim in Amsterdam in light of the Svarim in Padua. Because the Amsterdam is only giving you a superficial, a more of a basic understanding of the truths that were revealed in Padua, okay, when he was younger. So the Ramchal says, and that's what we're going to go back to what we spoke. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he revealed himself in two channels. One is Midas HaChesed, kindness, and one is Midas HaDin, which is justice, limitation, contraction. And we said that why did you need to have Midas HaDin with Midas HaChesed? That's what we spoke, for the concept of earning, right? And the idea is that you have to earn. Why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the ultimate. What we know of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he's a yochid u'miyochid, he's one. So he can never depend on anybody else. He's self-sufficient. He's the source of everything. So therefore, nobody can give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu anything. He's the source of everything. So that source means that even though we can never be like that, but at least we have to earn. We have to be the source. We have to be have the reason why we get what we get. So Midas Adin allows for the Midas HaChesed for us to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's what he spoke, the earning. By earning the kindness, we are similar to him. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not physical, Kadosh Baruch Hu is spiritual. So it allows for us to connect to him, because then is the law of similitudes. But in essence, in the Padua writings, you see that it's actually much deeper than that. Because if you select chesed, and the chesed doesn't come through Midas Adin, that's not ichud. Ichud is only when you unite opposites. So a chesed that comes through a channel which is exclusively chesed, but doesn't go through a channel of Midas Adin, it's not ichud. It's in itself, you are perpetuating a split between the two. So in a deeper sense, the reason why chesed, to be able to be a chesed, has to be through the channels of Midas Adin. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's kindness has to come to us through earning. Is because by blending the two, you create Ichud, which is in essence the deeper sense of Chesed. The deeper sense of God is the concept of Ichud. A good which is dichotomous, that by nature is there is a dichotomy, there's a separation, can be good, because the ultimate good is the Ichud. So the Ichud is what basically animates the concept of Chesed to come through the channels of Midas Adin. Is that clear? So this is the sense. So it's not only that we have to be doimed HaKadosh Baruch Hu to connect to him, that therefore the Midas HaChesed has to come from Midas Adin. It's also a Chesed which is based and predicated upon Ichud. So we are going to see the Ichud is the Avoidas HaOdom B'Olam Hazeh. Our Avoida is Ichud. And therefore we're going to talk today about something called the channels that we had, these double channels, and the creation of something which is called the third channel, which is Avoidas HaOdom. So we spoke that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in Briyas HaOlam a duality to be able to achieve unity. That duality is two channels. One of them is called the Midas HaChesed, which is expansion, which is giving, which is kindness. And then there is Midas Adin, which is the opposite, which is constraining, limiting, channeling, earning. Right? We spoke about it. Interesting that in Hebrew, the Maharal already points out, the only numeral which is always in the plural is the number two. Is the word shtayim or shnayim. Every other numeral is in the singular. Shalosh, arba, chamesh, shesh. Only the number two. Says the Maharal, why? Says in geometry, if you have two parallel lines, they're going to go parallel to each other and they're never going to meet for eternity. The number two is this duality which comes out clashing and can never unite. For it to unite, you see, this is thesis and antithesis. The famous, the Orientals, the whole world knows of that. This is the yin and the yang. Those two are opposites. They are impossible to be reconciled. You need a third force, which is the balancing and the reconciling. And that force is the number three. And the number three, which represents, see, Chazal always focus on the number three. Chazal say, how Glilo, the Gemara in Shabbat says, that he says, Bruch Rachmona de Yohiv, blesses the God that gave a triple Torah to a triple nation in a triple month, in a triple day, by a triple person. What it means, the Torah was given on the third month, right? Chodesh Sivan, Tanakh. Moshe Rabbeinu is the third brother. It was given the third day of Shlosh Semei Hagbola to a nation of Shkohanim, Levim, and Israelim. Now, it's so interesting. Who is the person who says this? I always say this. The Gemara says, how Glilo, the person from Galilee. Right? Why is the person from Galilee, right? You know what I can say? We are... First of all, it's so interesting. I didn't even think about it. Dr. Fan is great because Galil is also Gimel. I never thought about it. Gimel, Lamed, and Lamed is 3, 30, and 30. It's unbelievable. I never thought about it. But it is. Gemara says, but in Galilee, I am much more of a historian. What happened in Galilee? It's the beginning of the Trinity. right? The Christians. I hate to say this. In other words, he's in Yonah de Yoima. Yes. So we give Motzei Shabbos a shiur in Christianity. But so it's interesting, right? Because you see that this is the idea of Trinity, of this tripod that creates unity, it's unbelievable in Chazal. And for sure the Christians loved it. That's why, as you'll see, these Kabbalistic ideas, the ones who brought it to print, because Jews didn't want to print it. These books were supposed to be not printed. Who were the ones who brought them to print and who were very, very, quote-unquote, proactive in printing them were the Christians, right? The Christians' press brought the Zohar as one of the first books to be printed, Mantua, because it's the Trinity. And the Trinity was the aspect that they spoke. And in Chazal, we believe that, in this third force, right? But what is it? Because the Torah is the balance between Chesed and Din put together. And all the Voida Sa'odom is to put it together through Torah and to create a balance. And all of life is to balance Chesed and Din. And you never have a situation that you have Chesed without Din and vice versa. So it's not only that they come, but you have to really balance. In Chazal, this is called the Maskala. The Maskala is the scale. If I just brought to you the Safra Ditznusa, the Zohar, right? The Zohar, what's interesting about the Zohar was written on Parshas HaShavua. It's written on all the Parshas. The Zohar has a core, which is almost, if you want to see in the style of Mishnah and Gemara, the Gros says the Zohar is the Gemara, and there is a core Mishnah of five prokim in the midst of the Zohar. It's called Safra Ditznusa. It's called the Book of Secrets. And you know where the Book of Secrets? Safra Ditznusa is a book of concealment. Now, where do you think in the Zohar, in the five Chumashim, that Mishnah sits? In Parshas Truma. Because that is the Kodesh HaKodoshim of the Zohar. The Kodesh HaKodoshim of the Zohar is Safra Ditznusa. So Safra Ditznusa is an amazing sefer, five prokim, and Safra Ditznusa starts like this Tana. Safra Ditznusa, this is the book of concealment. Safra de Shakil Bematzel is a book that was weighed in a scale. What's the idea of the scale? The scale is exactly the two plates, Chesed and Din, and the scale balances it out. That is something called synthesis. That scale is what the world is all about. And the Tzafra Ditznusa comes to show you how that is true. And what I'm going to show you is that this is the Yesod of the world. In Chazal, the world, the Pasuk says, was Tohu Vavohu before Hashem created the world. If you remember in the first class we mentioned, what is Tohu? Tohu is Midat HaChesed. Why? Because Tohu, the Ramban, translates as regret. Because it talks about potential, and you regret giving any definition. Any definition that you give is not real, because it's lacking definition. Because you could say it's A, and at the same time, if it's A, it could be B, right? So it's something lacking definition. That's Tohu. Bohu is Bahu, is defined. Is very limited, constrained, is Midas Adin. So Tohu is Midas HaChesed, the potential that you can never define, is the undefinable potential. The Rabban calls it Chomer HaHiuli, the potential of the world, which is Midas HaChesed. Chesed is that, in essence, it's so expensive that there is no definition. Truly the fast thinking. Bohu is the defining. When the world was created, these two forces were independent. They were clashing because they were at the purest form. And in Chazal, these two forces actually blew up. Because in the purest form, when you have Chesed expanding, it expanded to no limit. And the contraction, it contracted until it contracted itself out of existence. In other words, if you take those two to the limit, they end up blowing up. Now, in Chazal, this concept that there is always this huge potential that's unchannable because it's uncontained, that it exists, blows up into smithereens. And then you have to rebuild it slowly but slowly, measuring the two together. It's a model that repeats in life throughout. We believe that the world of Tohu Vavohu, there were those two forces, Tohu and Bohu, and these two forces clashed until God gave something called the scale, which is the tools of the scale. In Chazal, it's called the tools of Tikkun, to create a balance between the two. And this is a repeating phenomenon throughout life. Lemoshel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before you're born, we are taught Kol HaTorah Kula to just forget it. What's the purpose of teaching us for us to forget? Because it's always Olam HaTohu. You have this Torah in its greatest form, but it's too great for us that blows up. And in life, we try to reconstruct it. Always. Beis Luchos HaRishonos. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us Luchos HaRishonos. The Gemara says, why doesn't have the word Tov in Luchos HaRishonos? Leman Itav Lach is only Luchos HaShniyos. There's no Liman Itav Lach on Luchos HaRishonos. So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Baba Kama says, because Atida Lishover, because you knew that this would go ahead and break, and therefore was not said the word Tov. One second. How did you know in the first Luchos that they were going to break? It says the Gemara, because the two Luchos were too high for this world. They were too big. They were too powerful. There was this huge power that always comes, blows into smithereens. You've got to build it again. Beis HaMikdash HaRishon. We had all of this great revelation, prophecy, miracles. It blows up to smithereens. Got to rebuild it again. So the world of Tohu Vavohu were the two of them. And I'll show you in a second why that happens. Why does Kibbutz have to create something that's not? So that Tohu Vavohu breaks, and you have to rebuild it again. In Chazal, this is mentioned already, because the forces of potential, which is Chesed, is which one? Is the male, right? Because he gives the potential, which is unlimited, which is the semen. He's the potential. And the female takes the potential. What does she do with the potential? She develops the potential, which is Midas Adin. She constrains, she limits. I always say the father always gives gifts and the mother is the tough one. Like by Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu said, okay, take the kids.
Well, what's the difference between Chesed and Rachamim?
Huh?
What is the difference between Chesed and Rachamim?
We didn't go into Rachamim. Rachamim is the Midas Shlishis. We didn't go into Rachamim yet. We talk about Chesed and Din. We didn't go into Rachamim for a purpose. So there's Chesed and Din, which is the male and female. Those are the two forces, the male and the female force. In Chazal, how were the men and the male and the female created? They were created back to back, attached back to back. So they didn't connect to each other. I always say, imagine if they, so the Gemara always says, who walked first? Because if you have two people like facing opposite directions, how did they walk? Chazal say that the male walked ahead. But this is these two forces pulling in different directions.
It's interesting that you attribute Din to the woman and Chesed to the man, because I think most people would think it was exactly the reverse.
Rachamim is something that we're going to say. Excellent. Kerachem avabonim. We're not talking about Rachmanim. Chesed, I told you, Chesed is not only kindness. Chesed is potential. I told you, what's Chesed? Chesed is potential expansion. The male is always that, right? The male is the one that goes out of the house, right? Darko shel ish, chazal shel lichboish. In the physical sense, he gives the semen. The semen has so much potential. Look at it. A female has one egg at a time. The male has so much more potential because it's potential. Catherine, halacha, this translates into halacha. I think you mentioned it.
She has a limited amount of eggs.
But Keter said there's a big enough kimina between the two. There is a famous maral. I maybe mentioned it before, but if I did, I'm sorry. The maral says there is a halachic implication in this idea. Because the Chazal say about Esther, it says, וכי אין לה אב ואם, she didn't have a father or a mother, ובמות אביה ואימה, לקחה מרדכי לו לבת. So she didn't have a father or a mother, and her mother died, מרדכי adopted her, Esther. So Chazal are bothered by the repetition. She has no father or mother, and when they died. So Chazal say like this, when she had a father by conception, he died. And then when her mother gave birth, her mother died. So that's it. So when the Pasuk comes to tell you that Esther had a father who died by the time of conception, and the mother who died at the time of birth. Says the Maharal, what does that mean? Because Chazal telling me that she never had a father. Because when does a father become a father? A father becomes a father at the time of conception. Mentioned many times. A mother, however, is not a mother until the time of birth. So Chazal are saying that Esther, her father died the second he became a father, which means when her mother got pregnant, the father died. When she gave birth, the mother died. So there's a timing difference between the two. And why is there a timing difference? Very simple. Because the father's job is to give the potential. So the second he lays the potential, which is the semen, he did his job. The mother's job, the opposite, what her job is to develop potential. So she's only a mother when she develops her first stage of potential, which is the birth. Okay, so that's nafkemina. Nafkemina also, what happens by in vitro fertilization? What happens if the mother doesn't have the egg? She does the pregnancy, gestation, and birth, but the egg is not hers. According to Chazal, to many poskim, the mother is the one that gives birth, because that's the story of Dina. There's a lot to be said. But that's the female. That's what Chazal call, what is the darko shel ish lichbish? The husband goes out and conquers. What is the isha? It's tznua. Kol kvuda bas melech pnima. She maintains. She can. In Jewish families, the father is all inclusive, bring everybody in, and the mother is the one that expels what's not, doesn't belong there. That's why M, what's an av? Av is aleph to base. It's the potential, right? It takes the potential to the next level. M is losh im. If not, she makes the decisions. I will say, like, if you don't have a, this guy meets, he's fighting with his wife, and he has a friend, and the friend says, you're fighting with your wife. He says, I don't understand. We have a very good modus vivendi between me and my husband, and we never fight. He says, well, says, well, let me tell you. We made a decision like this. The small decisions she makes. The big decisions I make. So what are the small decisions? Where you send the kids to school, where you go to live, where you go on vacation, what school should you send? What are the big decisions? Should Obama be elected? Should they enter into an agreement with Iran? Like those big, that's the husband, that's exactly, because the mother is the one that defines that is tachlis. The husband has these great, grandiose ideas that actually make no difference whatsoever. That's what I always say. Yes. So this is like, by the way, Mars and Venus, it goes in the same. They are looking the same, because Mars is Midas Adin and Venus is Midas Chesed. Kayadua. All the people are talking about the same things, because this every religion believes in this, and this is, these truths are the core truth of the universe. That the most amazing part of it, you go to any religion, any thinker will come to the same ideas. And it's amazing how every religion goes to the same, but they have to, because those are the cores of the universe. Right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed us the Koach HaShlishi. You realize the Chidush HaTorah is not these two. These two, it's very funny. The Jews don't know about this, while every other religion does know. But what the Chidush of Torah is something different. These two basic forces are out there. But in Lekatchila, Chazal say the Torah.
That's by design.
Huh?
But you just said that last statement by design, that the Jews don't know that. Chazal did not want that necessarily revealed.
Absolutely, Moshe. Is a creature, but Chazal did not think that this should be revealed, but in the Acharis Hayom, the Zohar says that yes, and absolutely right, because we are orthopraxy, we're not orthodoxa. And once upon a time, people, because the Torah is supposed to be in so many generations, and the generation people were hard to say primitive, so you didn't go into those high fluent, very few people know about it. The same way that according to a lot of people, Olam Haba was not revealed to people until much later, into Bayis Sheni. Ad Ovel Mikdash Ekel Avina Lachrisam. Right? The Pasuk Degilim says that the Melech is saying, what am I going to do? People are saying that after I die, everything goes away. So what's the purpose of all of this? Until I came to the Mikdash and they told me what's going to be afterwards. So Rav Shlomo Fischer says yes, because the Olam Haba became so controversial by Sheni because it was not known to people, because they kept it out. But you see, all of those things, which they became revealed as you go along. Well, this is so interesting. In Yiddishkeit, practice is what counts. High fluent ideas don't. But the way the world is changing, and according to the Zohar, this was the beginning of Maimonides HaChochma in the 18th century, 17th century, 18th century, 19th century. But it doesn't matter, be as it may. But in Chazal, these two forces were the opposite. The male and female, or the Gemara in Bracha says, they were built with each other, connected by the backs, and they were facing away from each other. This is the idea that there was no conversation between them. God did, Chazal say, right, in Bar Baruch, they did the Nesira, he cut it. And today, they go and they join forces face to face. This idea of joining face to face is the concept of Yichud, the Ezer connector. And this is what the world is all about. So the idea is the following. These two forces were created, very powerful, they were pristine, and they broke. And in this world, we are supposed to go ahead and to put them together. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave a tool, which is the third tool, which is the number three, which is called synthesis between the two, and that is called Rachamim. Rachamim is the synthesis between Midas HaChesed and Midas HaDin. And you realize why. What's Rachamim? Rachamim in Hebrew means pity. You have only pity on somebody who's suffering, somebody who's all good. There's no pity. So Rachamim is Rachamim B'din, like Ramban says. That you join Din and Chesed overcomes, and you put and you blend the two together. And this is what Torah is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed us Midas HaRachamim, which is Torah. Look at this. Avraham Avinu, which is Midas HaChesed in its purest form. What happens to Avraham Avinu? He has Ishmael. And Ishmael is a distortion of Midas HaChesed. Why? Because Ishmael is the one, Chazal say, that he's the one who is uncontrollable. He's so much growth that he's a periodim, yodo bakol v'yada kolboy. What would the Arabs, the Gemara says, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu give to them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them fuel, oil, because it's potential. The undeveloped potential is them. Ishmael is undeveloped potential. So Ishmael, you see that throughout is this potential and this idea that you can't control. They are the unbound control. Let me give you something in Hebrew. Like I mentioned in class in Shiur, for people should remember, the word Arab, Arab, Ein Reish Beis, is a word in Hebrew that has many meanings. What does it mean? It means Arab. It means Arif, a guarantor. What else? Huh? It means Arif Taroivis, right? What else it means?
Sweet.
It means something Arif, pleasant. And it means also evening. Mm-hmm. What's the common denominator of the three? Or the five? But the answer is very simple. Arif, Ein Reish Beis means a mixture, means Taroivis. All of this are forms of Taroivis. A guarantor is somebody who mixes in into somebody else's debt. There's a transaction between a borrower and a lender, and the guarantor mixes in. So it's a mixture. Something pleasurable in Chazal is when you mix in with the things. I told you the Yichud. That's why the Avnei says, Lemain said, there is no pleasure, normal pleasure, because there's no connection in homosexual relations. That's the Avnei. That's why the Avnei says, the Torah, you have to be pleasant, because you have to unify with Torah, unification, blending it in creates pleasure. So pleasure is a ref to be in. An Arab is the one that's unbound. He mixes himself into everything. He buds everywhere. Right? There's no boundaries. That's why Arab is Arif. Now the word Arif in Hebrew is not night. The word night in Hebrew is the word, what's the word? Is Laila. The word Erev is when it starts getting dark, that you be Arba, and things become unclear, becomes mixed. What's the opposite of Erev? It's not Yom. The opposite of Erev is what? The word Boker. What's Boker? It's clarity. Like Levaker es Amumin, right? When you go ahead and you discern the Mumin, right? Because it becomes clear. One is the beginning of mixture, and the other one is the beginning of clarity, right? That's why the word Boker, and I always mention it, the word Levaker Bikur Cholim. There was Ben Yehuda translates Bikur Cholim into visiting the sick. But there is no such a thing. Bikur is not visiting. Bikur means checking, analyzing. What Bikur Cholim means, you got to check with a sick person what he needs. So that's what Moshe Feinstein reminds him, Aloha, can you do Bikur Cholim by phone? He says, yes. Because it's not visiting, not paying a visit. You are checking what he needs. Right? You're making clear what he needs. That's why Taroivis, Erev, Orev, it's all the same shoresh, which is something called a mixture. Okay? Because the Arab is Midas HaChesed, which is unbound, so he mixes in everywhere. That's an Arab. Yitzchak is Midas Adin. And what does he have? Midas Adin, he constrains himself until he turns into somebody which is all violence. Who's that? Al Har B'Chatichye, Esav. So those two have so much pure chesed and pure deen until they go into a point that they become destructive and they self-destruct. Yaakov Avinu loymes, because Yaakov Avinu, what is he? He's Midas Emes, which is Midas Atiferes, which is called Midas Arachamim. He blends the two together. Shari Oira, Yaakov Ishtam Yoishev Oiholim, he sat in two tents, the tents of Avrom and the tent of Yitzchak. He's the blend between the two. That's why Yaakov Avinu is Midas HaEmes, which keneged Torah, and he's the one who creates the blend. And in life, in Jewish life, that we always
how
have to have.
How do you see that during his life?
You see that he always blends. Lemoshal. Always, he's the one who is Midas HaEmes, and he's the only one who all his life needs to lie. Because he can't take anything to the extreme. He's always a blend. But can I tell you something the most? Look at the Medrash says Yaakov Avinu had four nisyonos. The first nisyon is the Bechira, right? He had the nisyon of, three nisyonos and one. I'm going to tell you something very amazing on all of this. He had four nisyonos. The first nisyon was with Esav. The second nisyon was with Lavan. The third nisyon was with Shechem. And the fourth nisyon was with Yosef. And I always say, one second, it doesn't make sense. The first three nisyonos make sense. Yaakov Avinu is Midas HaEmes. He has to put truth into test. That he sometimes has to violate the truth. Yaakov, with Esav, he has to violate the truth. With Lavan, he for sure had to cheat him because he got cheated 100 times. And with Shechem, they had to cheat him. Vayodu, the Yosef, with Yaakov Bimirma. But what does the story of Yosef have to do with anything? So this the Balatani explains, because Yaakov Avinu is the one who puts everything together. He in Chazal, he's called in the Mishkan, was the Bria Chatichon. The Bria Chatichon, that pole that went and put the Mishkan together, was him, because he puts things together. And he could not keep his family together. His family split. That is a violation of them. So truth is truth in Hebrew. I told you, truth in Hebrew is not popper. What is truth in Hebrew? Is Aleph, Mem, and Tafer, beginning, middle, and end, connecting everything together. Yaakov Avinu is the Chai Leolam because he connects everything together. Even the Pachim Ketanim, he doesn't let it go away. So this idea of blending it together, it's Yaakov Avinu. And this is what Yaakov Avinu is special, is putting it together, and that's the Avodah, which is Torah. That's why Torah is a triple Torah, because what Torah does, it takes Chesed and Din and puts it together, and all of it. That's why the Torah is the balancing force of the universe that was created to put it all together.
Yeah, that's why Yaakov had a great life, because all his life he tried to do it, and over again he was trying to like
to bring, because that's the challenge of life. Absolutely.
It's simple. It's not just
absolutely. It's an avodah. That's the avodah of the world. Absolutely. First of all, this Shem Shamayim, how many letters, unique letters you have? You have the Yud, the He, and the Vav. The second He is a repeated He, which we'll talk eventually. The Yud, the He, and the Vav is that. Yud is the potential, is the point. The word Yud means potential, right? It's Yud, Vav, and Dalet, says the Groy, is point, line, and a perimeter. That's Chesed. The He is limiting. You see, it's a boundary, putting a perimeter. He lecha dover zech. As I'll always say, if you want to make something, if you want to put something and exclude anything else from it, what do you do in Hebrew? You put the letter He, ko He Ayedia. And what's the letter Vav? Is the connecting. Right? It's the one that connects with the Ois Adas. So those are the three. Chesed, Din, and Rachamim. I always find it something really, really, really interesting, if you want to see. In Chazal, we have three midrashim. You know that we have three midrashei halacha. The first midrash halacha, it's called on Shmois. What's the name of it? It's called the Mechilta. The second midrash halacha, whose is it? Is the Sifro on Vayikra. And then on Bamidbar and Dvorim, you have something called the Sifrei. No, I'll tell you something fascinating on this. There was Rav David Tzvi Hafman. Rav David Tzvi Hafman was one, he was the head of the Beis Medrash Lerabonim in Berlin. And he was one of the first really scholars. If you want to know into Jewish study scholars, right, into Wissenschaft, he was. But he was a very big Yerush Shamayim. So one of the things he did was the study. We know, he says like this, he postulates that in the time of Midrashei Halacha, there were two Bati Midrashim. And I mentioned to you, I think, maybe before, there were two Bati Midrashim. There was the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva and the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. And they were competing Bati Midrashim. And if you want to know, when they'll tell you, it's a fascinating two Bati Midrashim. And they had two different things. And he postulated that they wrote two separate Midrashei Halacha. And through his literary analysis, he came out to the conclusion that our Mechilta comes from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Shmuel. And it's called Mechilta de Rabbi Shmuel. And he surmised that we're going to find the Mechilta from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva. And we actually found that Mechilta. And that Mechilta is called Mechilta of Rashbi, or Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. If you see in the bookstores, you could buy it. The Mechilta of Rashbi was found. And he was right. He said that this doesn't represent. The second one on Vayikra, which is Sifro, is from the Beis Medrash of Rabbi Akiva, not Rabbi Shmuel. And the Gemara says, Stam Sifro Rabbi Akiva. He says, Sifrei is a blend between the two, undefinable. I told you, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, the two opposites, and the third one is a mix. And I have a friend, Moshe Kapel. You know Moshe Kapel? So Moshe Kapel was the one who is, he is a he has this, he is a great, great mind. And he has statistical linguistics. What he does is statistical analysis of linguistics, and he's able to look at attributions. If anybody saw the movie, there's a movie called Footnote, and on Footnote, there is, I'll show you like a Rochelheim. When at the end of the movie, they're trying to find out who wrote what, and they start, remember, it's Moshe Kapel's work. Moshe Kapel is a guy who is an unbelievable. The FBI, he's the only person he's called in Israel to testify. They find the letter, and they don't know who the author is. Statistically, can tell who the author is. That's it. And I tell the FBI, I tell the American courts, take him as an expert. He's like the real expert. He did a lot of cool studies. A lot of cool studies. One of them was on the Midrashei Halacha to verify if Rav David Tzvi Hafman was right. And the computer comes back the same, says, Midrash Halacha, our Mechilta is Rabbi Shmuel. If you found all Rabbi Shmuel, as he uses the same language, the same pattern, Sifro is Rabbi Akiva, and Sifrei is undeterminable. It's impossible to determine, because a mixture between the two, which is exactly this idea. There is Chesed and there is Din, and number three is putting it all together. See, the amazing part of Chazal, well, you see the Torah is Emes, because the one pattern will repeat itself throughout. The Torah has one system, and everything else is just a repetition of that system. It doesn't matter how you cut and slice and dice it. I always say, you know, that when Goren found the mountain that he thought was Har Sinai, you know, he got the idea that it was Har Sinai? Because the stone had the Mount Sinai had a bush, and the stone had like a little sign of a bush. And what was interesting about that bush, that if you took the stone and you cut it, you had the same bush again. So you could never got, you could in tiny pieces, there were bushes. And Chazal, the idea is a replicating system, right? So he says, okay, this is Har Sinai because the story is replicating, but this is Emes. Something it's Emes is very consistent throughout. So this idea, the third part is Rachamim, is the basics of Yiddishkeit. And I'm going to show you how this is true everywhere. But I told the Midrashei Halacha, this is true. Meaning, Rabinovitz Hoffman found this almost by mistake. He wrote called Midrashei Tanaim. Moshe Kapel proved it, that this is right, and that's throughout. I'm going to show you amazing things on this. But now let's see the Balatani inside what he says, because the Balatani explains this. I'm going to read and translate. Hakdoma yidua shikar efresh. This is the Balatanya in the Torah Or. The Torah Or, it's an amazing... You know that Rabbi Yoshe Ber, just Rabbi Yoshe Ber loved the Torah Or. Somebody was telling me that by Heshuin, mm-hmm. Rabbi Yoshe Ber one summer, he was used to give a shiur, he comes to the Olam and he gives a shiur on Torah Or. Balatanya, because he learned, his Rabbi, when he was a young boy, was Chabad. And the Olam was not interested, was not ready, this is it. So they said they were yawning from the beginning of the class to the end for like a week. So the Yoshua closed and said, okay, you guys are not ready for this, and he stopped. But he actually wanted to give a shiur on the Torah. Wow. It's interesting, right? Mm-hmm. So this is the Torah. He thought that the Torah was unbelievable. Hakdama hayadua. Hakdama hayadua. She'ikare fresh ben Olam HaTohu le'Olam HaTikun. What's the difference between the Olam HaTohu, which is the world of chaos, of before Tikkun, and our world, which is the Olam HaTikun? She'be'Olam HaTohu esfirot bifuradim zetachat zeh. That the Sfirot, who say Chesed and Din, they were under each other. So in other words, they were, at that time, one under the other, like basically not facing each other. They were basically in separate realms. Aval b'Olam HaTikun b'tziur kavin. But in the Olam HaTikun, they are in the form of lines. The Hainu Shlosha Kavin, they are built in three lines. Yamin, Usmol, Vemtza. It's built one, one, and one in the middle, a triangle. Shakav Emtzayu Mechaber Miyached Gam Keshakvin Dismol. The middle one connects the right and the left. Liyois Miskalelim Beyachad Kayadua. To put the two together. The Tiferes, which is the number three, which is the beauty. The beauty is... I told you, what is beauty in Chazal? Somebody asked me today, what is something beautiful? Something beautiful in Chazal, and by the way, in art is also the same. Is when you have the balance between opposites. If you have a painting which is monochrome, unless you bring opposites, it's a boring and has no value whatsoever. The more of a contrast that it has, it's beauty to put it together. That's something which is yofe. When you have a kasha and a teruts, that's what makes it beautiful. I just saw there is like some painting now that says it's called Grisai. Grisai is always in shades of white and black. But it's beautiful because you have to create the contrast between the two colors and not turn everything into gray. And this is this world. And that's called tiferes, it's called beauty because it blends it to. Chazal say, a tiferes zu matan Torah. Because Torah brings and close the two together. Tiferes is that in between Chesed and Gvura, or Mechaber Miach, is the one that puts it together. Ulekach Israel Shem Bibchinas Atikun. That's why Klal Israel, the defining mission of the Jewish people is to put these things together. Therefore, we say three times Kodesh Dafka. That's why we say Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. We are a triple nation on triple Kedusha. That's Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, that's why, by the way, there is no Dover Shebi Kedusha of less than three. Three psukim, you cannot read less than three psukim. There is no Aliyah of less than three people. Zimun is three, to put it together. Rishu Sarabim, to bring it together, is three people. Rabbi said, that's why three, we are so, that's why the Christians, like, jumped on us. Because Trinity was something that they heard so many times. They just distorted the idea of Trinity. But that's why they were so interested on the Trinity. Okay? Ugamken, take a look at what he says. Ksiv Bahem, Klal Yisrael is written, V'yisim li segula michol ha'amim. Segula is the segol. Segol is the three, no, the three dots. That's the segol. Klal Yisrael is the segula. Shasegol u shloisha nekudas, these three dots. Yomin, small, v'emtza. That's why, by the way, the Hebrew Kabbalistic sign of the Jewish people is what? Is a triangle. And since there's a triangle facing up and a triangle facing down, that's called the Magen David. The Star of David is not a star. It's a six-pronged star because it's two triangles. Our, by the way, the Masonic sign, right? Everybody knows the triangle and the eye. This, the triangle is this. It's built on this.
Does it mean that the triangle have to meet each other? That's why.
That the triangle facing each other. There's one facing up and one facing down because we're going to see the Avodah Sa'oda mistake facing up and bring Hashem down. We're going to see that.
The Hindus have the two triangles that look, to us it looks like Mohammed David. One triangle is the male and the other is the female.
Absolutely. Chazal is exactly this because it's always the Zohar that one is facing up, which is in Chazal, that's the Nekeva. That's the one that she is the one who's waiting for the Zohar. And the Zohar is the one that comes, the one from above. That's exactly it. You're going to see that it is amazing. Now, it's amazing how Oriental philosophy is the same as our philosophy. It has to be. Now, you could create causality and look at what you called. We all know that people say that maybe one learned from the other. But you don't have to say, those are the truths of the universe. Anybody who opens his eyes sees that this is the reality. That's why the triangle is such an amazing idea, right? Because the two and the together, that's the segol. Okay. Aval be'oila matohu. So this is this world. This world is to create triangle, to triangulate everything, to put chesed in din and to mix it together and to blend it together. But the oila matohu, shayu b'b'chinas pirut zetach hazeh, in oila matohu, where the two dots were separate, and they never got together. There were two lines. But they were independent of each other. In the Tohu, the lights, which is the Chesed, was too big, too powerful. But the Midas Adin, the Kalim, the vessels to take it were very, very, very little because they were constrained themselves out of existence. Because since the Kli was so small, you know what is a small cap with a small? The guy who cannot take two opposites the same. You know something? I always say the yeshivish world that is everything black or white is called Kalim Motim. It's called the Chazal. This is like small vessels because our lives is to be able to deal with opposites. All of life is dealing. If you can't deal with opposites, for you it's either good or bad, and everything is like very, very, very much determined. Is again, it's called Kelim Motim. Chesed Gvura Biyachad. They could not take Chesed Gvura Biyachad. Al derech Moshe Biyod. The Mishnah Sichlo Katan. Take a look at Baal Tanya. It says if somebody has a very small mind, he will never be able to accept two opposites because for him, is it a yes or no? Meaning there is like everything is very, very absolute. If it's good, it's good and nothing bad. If something is good, it's perfect good and there's no blemish. The same thing, if he decides something is bad, will be only choif. So a small mind is the one that only carries one thing only. That means that they are separate. It's either chesed or din. That's a small cap. This is the world of two lines. That the two lines never join. They are parallel to each other, but they are not adjoining. What is the oil of matikun that we blend and we're able to define, to harmonize? Always when there is a din, has to be schus. That's why if you have a bezdin shekulo ichai, if you have a bezdin that came out and is a unanimous decision, you can't apply. Has to be always a second side. In the Olam HaTikun, I always say, if something's too much of a slam dunk, it will never work. I always tell my people, this is my, by the way, this translates, Rabbi Isai, into trading. If you have something that you can't find another side, get away because this is going to blow up. If something's a slam dunk, it means that it will never work. If something's true consensus, I always thought the euro, right? The euro, like before this month, a lot of hedge funds lost a lot of money because they were thinking that when the ECB eased, they're going to ease even more. But also, when you look at it, and before everybody was saying it, they said it can't work. That's it, because you have to have something has to be somebody which is called a spoiler. If you don't have a spoiler, in Olam HaTikun, it won't work. V'chen le'yivtuch, if you should be tikkun ha'oiros mu'otim v'kelim rubim. In this world, the lights, the ideas are small, and our ability to deal with them is much bigger. So it could take two opposites, because things are not so sharp. So the chesed is not pure chesed, it's a chesed that has a blemish. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it in a way that you negotiate between them. Nimtza kli rachav. So therefore, this world is the world of kelim, the world of tikkun, lekabel shtei hafochim, to take and to always have two opposites living together. Ukmo beodem shedaito rechova yuchal lisboil snei hafochim yachad. That's why somebody like somebody has a big mind, he can take two opposites together. V'im sheche v'ishkenu b'mocho v'libo. Always there to say there's always two sides of the same story. And this is the world of the triangles that we live. Rabbi said this is the key of the world. Therefore, in halacha, there is never, ever extremes. Even though we live in a world of extremism, that for people is black and white, Baruch Hashem, that's the distortion of Torah. In Chazal, according to the Chazal, which is the school of Machshava, which is the school of the Baal HaTanya, the Zohar, the Arizal, the Maral, the Shlo, there is no such a thing. There is no such a thing as extremes. There's always the blend between the two, and you have to constantly blend, and we'll see how this turns Lelacha.
Yeah, because the people who started this current, ultimately their descendants, you know,
that's the Yetzer Hara of this world.
Right. So that they started this web, it is like a force out of control. So even though they tried to get this thing, you know, but two generations later, it went back to an extreme.
Oh, the toe. That's the toe that comes to destroy the world. Exactly. That's you're going to see that the Yetzer Hara, what he does in Chazal, they always will try to take one and not allow Chesed to bread and vice versa.